Well, folks, take a look inside your grace notes there. You can follow along. I want to welcome our live stream worshipers, our folks in El Dorado Springs, and those on podcast. And today we're talking about sold out, not sold out. And so hopefully you've sold out to God. You've given over everything to God. But, you know, some of us, I think, sometimes sell out a little bit when it comes to our integrity, who we are, who we're called to be, by allowing the world to get into our lives. You know, to sell out means you're going to betray a cause for personal advancement. That's just sad. You know, a lot of times, musicians and actors are accused of selling out. They are. And sadly, some of them do sell out, and they get a bit off in course with their endorsements. In companies, organizations, I mean, lots of folks do this. And, you know, it's almost as if they listen to the wrong person. You ever listen to the wrong person sometimes? They give you bad direction. They give you bad advice. That happens a lot. The Bible's full of moments where people listen to the wrong person. But today I want to just talk about a few of those things that kind of got to me and that I think someone should have got to these folks and said, you know, you probably shouldn't do this. Number one on my list of bad endorsements or folks who sold out. And this is a sad one for some of you, and this is a sad one for me. AC/DC, the band. Yes, I'm a fan of AC/DC. Whole new picture of your pastor. Yes, amen, yes. A couple years ago, AC/DC decided to allow their song Back in Black, one of the most brilliant, amazing rock songs ever created, to be used by Walmart for their Black Friday sales. Did you know that? Go Google it, check it out, still on YouTube. The video is that song being played over a Walmart commercial. And, you know, I gotta say, it was shocking to me that they would allow that because I don't know if you knew this or not, but AC/DC refused to let their music on iTunes for years. And it wasn't about money. It's because a lot of musicians and artists do not believe that iTunes has a good enough stream of their music. It doesn't sound full. It doesn't sound good enough. In fact, if you listen to a CD version of a song and you listen to an iTunes version of the song, they sound different. I challenge you to go do that because the quality isn't there. And so a lot of artists said, no, no way. Sadly, ACD finally said, we can make some money off of this. And so now their songs are all on there. And so that's a band that I personally like that I think, hey, I feel like they kind of sold out. I really do. No Doubt, you ever heard of the band No Doubt? Their first album was awesome. Second album, very corporate, right? A lot of folks accuse them of selling out, yes. Now, it's not just sellouts. There's lots of ones in history that you could probably claim and say they really lost who they were. They lost their integrity because of some of the stuff they did. There's also folks who have never done that. You guys know Arnold Palmer, great golfer? Yeah, he used to be the number one endorser of products in this country, made hundreds of millions of dollars endorsing products. And one of the things he said is, I will not endorse a product I don't personally use. That's integrity. Sadly, every now and then, we do listen to the wrong people. And I have a graphic I want to put on the screen that I promise you, I tried to research this and find out if this was just a joke, but I think it's legit. And I challenge you to go take a look online and try and challenge me to see if this is true or not. Lee, you want to put that up there? Susan G. Komen, the Walk and Race for the Cure, decided to partner with KFC. And they came up with Buckets for the Cure. And I'm not kidding you, I saw that and I said, this has to be a joke. There's absolutely no way Kentucky Fried Chicken, one of the most unhealthy places on earth, I don't even eat there, seriously, would partner with someone for breast cancer. That sounds insane. This only happened once and there was so much horrible backlash against Susan G. Komen, it never happened again. I mean, absolutely never. That is probably the worst partnership in the history of partnerships when it comes to endorsements. Lee, you can take that picture down because that's absolutely disgusting to me. That's awful. Think about it. Now, there's no other natural partnerships out there we can think of that are just perfect home runs, right? A lot of folks that are out there that are doing good things, that are endorsing good products. In fact, right now, there is a whole new industry of things that are coming up in this world that are called basically entrepreneurs with a social cause. And so folks are partnering whatever products they're selling to a social cause. In fact, folks are really doing this throughout the United States right now, and it is a huge thing. I mean, it's absolutely huge, whether it be clothing or food or any of that kind of stuff that's out there that's being sold, people are doing a good job of saying, if you buy these things, it's going to do this, right? How many times have we seen a company put their name on a stadium only to see that company's name come off in the midst of a scandal, right? Bad partnerships, selling out. Sadly, that happens a lot. And I hope in your own faith in your own faith that you do not sell out, that you don't allow the way of the world to pull your faith away from you, to keep you from being who you need to be. So I'm going to say, don't sell out. Don't sell out as a Christian. Do not allow the world to pull you away from Jesus Christ. Let me read to you from 1 Timothy 6, 6-10. It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and trap into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money, it is the root of all kind of evil. Now, it doesn't say money is the root of evil. It says the love of money is the root of all kind of evil. And then it says, some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So, friends, we need to keep our priorities godly. We need to keep our priorities holy. Look at your last week, the things you've done and said. Have you been holy? Have you made sure that Jesus Christ is at the forefront of everything you say and everything you do? Now, you might come back and say, Pastor Jeremy, that's really not possible. In the life that I live, the world I live in, the job that I have, that's not possible. I deeply challenge you on that and say, no, it is possible. You can be a Christian today and tomorrow out in the world and the next day if you choose to keep your priorities straight. If you choose to make sure that you're living the life, that your faith is consistent every day. You choose to believe in Jesus. That's not something that hopefully was not forced on you, but you've chosen to believe in Jesus, so you need to carry that light of hope and love everywhere you go. No matter where you are, you carry that hope and that love. Now, Timothy here very clearly, in the letter to Timothy from Paul, it clearly says, be careful that you might fall into temptation in this world. So you need to do things in this world for the right reasons. So when you're doing things in this world, you're going out in the world, you're investing your time and your energy and your resources in things, are those the right things? In other words, are there products in your life or there things that you do on a regular basis that if someone asks you to endorse it, could you do that as a Christian? Could you endorse all the things that you use, all the things you do as a Christian? I think there's some things we probably aren't very proud of, some things we say, some places we go, that we need to make sure that we are keeping our priorities straight, we're keeping them godly and holy, and also that we're keeping our integrity intact. Have we done that? As we approach Christmas, there is great temptation to fall into the trap of consumerism, chasing after stuff. Again, this year it grieves me to see the videos from Black Friday of people pushing and shoving and beating each other up to get plastic. Cheap plastic is all it is, right? You might say, well, that cheap plastic is awesome, right? It is. 50 inch of cheap plastic is awesome. Well, it is. Do you know that Black Friday, as I said a couple weeks ago, it's dropping. It's dropping. It's not as big as it used to be. You know what's huge? Cyber Week, Cyber Monday. Huge deals online. So you don't have to go out there and beat your fellow man up to get a piece of plastic. You can just sit at home and get on your phone and find some stuff, right? But even then, are we spending our time, our resources, and our energy on the right things? Are we living the life that God has called us to live? Can we reject that world of Christianity or of the world that pulls the Christianity toward that side? I think for Christianity, sadly, sometimes we stick that stuff together. And instead of Christianity, it becomes churchianity. That our faith is just about being a part of a church, not actually being a Christian. And in churchianity, you can come to church and go out and be whoever you want during the week. But that's not the kind of Christianity that Jesus Christ envisioned for us. To follow him humbly, to serve, to walk, to love. So as you go out into the world, how do you treat people? Do you treat them with compassion? Kindness? You know, there's some folks in this world that have sold out big time. Their names have become synonymous with bad things. How sad would that be? How sad would it be if our names, our personal names, became synonymous with horrible, terrible things, right? You ever heard of a Ponzi scheme? Right? We've heard of a Ponzi scheme, right? Yeah, Bernie Madoff made it huge and famous, but it wasn't him who started it. It was a guy named Charles Ponzi back in the 1920s that stole money from people. Hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars from people. And now his name is forever synonymous with a bad thing. How about this? You ever heard the term gerrymandering? Have you ever heard that term? It's when politicians will set political lines to try and get themselves advancement. Yes, right? Actually comes from a governor of Massachusetts. His last name was Jerry, Gary. And so they said they called it gerrymandering because he was working political influences like that. And that was way back when, like 1950s or 60s. I mean, this has been going on for years where people have been unethical. They haven't had integrity. And I won't even really talk about politicians these days. My goodness, right? Oh my goodness. So folks, our integrity must be intact. Our faith must be real if we're going to reach people for Jesus. If we're going to reach people for Jesus and change lives in the name of Jesus Christ, our faith must be true. It must be real. And so if we're going to have a real faith that really impacts this world, we have to find our path, and you need to find your path. Find your path, the path that you need to be on. Let me read to you from Jeremiah. He says, "But if I say, I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot." Jeremiah is trying to explain that if you are a follower of God and he has placed his word deeply inside of you, you can't keep it in. If you try and keep it in, it's like you're throwing water on the fire that God has placed inside of you. And every time we sin, every time we speak poorly of others, every time we are mean to people, that water is being poured on that fire. Now, that fire will not go out, but it'll get down to an ember in some of our lives. And we'll feel so hollow and so little and so small that we feel disconnected from God because we are not feeding the flame and fanning the flame of Jesus Christ in our lives. Jeremiah tells this to the followers of God and says, you have to have this fire inside of you, and it has to get out. You can't quench this fire. You do not stop this fire from going anywhere. You have to fan that flame. How do we do that? How do we do that as faithful followers of Jesus? Number one way to do that is prayer. Do you pray? Do you ask for God's guidance? You know, a lot of us will do things in this world and we won't ask for God's guidance. Now, I don't want to be bothered. I don't need to bother God. I know which way I'm going to go. I know which thing I'm going to do. I'm going to choose this path. Here's the problem. A lot of us choose not to talk to God because we don't want his input. We don't want God's input in big decisions, right? Now, some of us do pray. We pray well. We pray a lot. And we seek God's wisdom, God's guidance. But others of us have pushed God to the side and said, no, I got this. When we do that, we're living a life apart from the Lord. We're living a life apart from God. That is not the kind of life we want to live. Bible study, reading your Bibles. You know, I share a lot of scriptures on Sunday mornings purposely so that for those of us who aren't reading our Bibles regularly, you hear and read a lot of scriptures on Sunday. You get to take home your insert, and you can actually take that with you and read the Bible throughout the week. I encourage you to read your Bible every day. There's Bible apps. There's lots of ways in which you can read your Bible. Read a chapter a day, and it will change your life. You will encounter this world in a completely different way if you are in the Word of God. Another one sometimes we forget, this is a tough one, fasting. We do this a lot at Lent. Many of us give up something at Lent, but we are actually called to fast at all times, right? We're supposed to be giving things up on a regular basis to be faithful followers. How do you do that? You identify things in your life right now. Identify things in your life right now that are encroaching on your faith. What are some things we need to fast? And guess what? There's some relationships we need to fast too. There are. There are some things that are getting in way of our faith. Not only that, worship and seeking holiness. So how can we, as faithful followers, continue to stay in a worshiping community? Well, you can gather together every Sunday if you want. We've also made it available online for those who can't make it to church, right? This is a great way in which we can stay connected to God and know who we are and whose we are. Be focused on the right things. And finally, seek after holiness. Be a person that every day is seeking after holiness. Now listen to this. Mark 9 says, "Anyone wants to be first must be the very last and a servant of all." We are called to be servants. So I ask you this. Who'd you serve this last week? Who did you serve? Did you serve anyone? Did you help anybody? Did you point anybody in the right direction? Did you share the word of God with people? Or were we too busy worried about the things of this world? Were we too worried about our jobs? We're too worried about the bottom line. Were some of us too worried about school and finals, right? We're too worried about how are we going to get through this class? We're too worried about grades, right? Instead of trying to serve those who are in need, we are focused on our own needs. It's okay to take care of what you need to take care of, but if we're doing that at the cost of serving others, we've missed the point. Who can we serve? How can we serve? Can we make a difference in this world? I think we can. I know we can if we're willing to fight for it, to actually be faithful. You know, we're collecting stuff for kids at both our campuses. We are. Shoes, coats, and books. My goodness, folks. To live in a world where kids need coats for Christmas because they're cold. They're in need. How can you not be inspired to go help them? Right? Can we not be inspired to help those who are in need? Books, are you kidding? Books for kids so they can go home and learn how to read. What an inspiration you could be to somebody else by just bringing up at least one book. That's going to change one kid's life. And shoes. So they can walk to school without holes in their shoes, right? Can we do that? Can you do that? Can you serve your fellow human beings by helping those who are in need? I know you can. Sometimes we have to call ourselves back into account in our own life and say, man, I've been going this way for so long, I need to stop and go in a different direction because the life that I have chosen is not leading me to Jesus Christ. Those choices I've made have actually led me away from Christ, and I need to get back going in the right direction. To do that, we need to be sold out for God. You know, there's a phrase the early disciples used. I don't know if you ever heard this phrase or not, but we're supposed to die to Christ. It's often used by the early disciples to explain to people who are not followers of Jesus what it means to follow Jesus. And in saying you die to Christ means you take your ego, your selfishness, all the things that you want and all your desires, you set them aside and be filled with Christ. And then all your wants, your desires are holy. They're Christ-like. And so when you look out in the world and you see this Christmas season, you see this beautiful time of Christmas where we're celebrating, we have decorations everywhere, the city's just adorned beautifully. You celebrate that. Not frustrated and upset with what's going on in your life, but actually celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. We live in a world where we can do that. We live in a country that allows us to do that, to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And we don't do so to throw it in other people's faces. We do so in humility and kindness, knowing that the one who came before us loved us enough to sacrifice his only life for us. He gave his life so that we might have life. He did. He was a servant. And he says we need to be servants. So this week, who do you need to serve? Who is somebody in your life that needs a Christian, a real Christian, that can have the light of Christ in their life and shine it in somebody else's life? Who is that person you need to serve? Matthew 16 says, "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done." Not what we've said, but what we've done. How we've conducted ourselves in this world. How we've gone out into the world and made a difference. That's tough. But I'll tell you, there are bright and shining examples of faithfulness in our congregation. People who are out there weekly working with those who are in need, making a difference. There are. We are shining brightly for all those new couples who want to get married and not have to pay $3,000 for a wedding, right? We're shining brightly for those folks. We have Open Doors. We do weddings and funerals for anybody. Pretty much anybody that needs it, we're here and we're available. The church staff, your pastors, are ready and available to help those who are in need, and so are you, because as you walked in, you probably saw a pile of coats out there, that we've already got a ton of coats that have been donated, right? We have shoes, we have books. These things are flooding into both our buildings and our other campus because we care about our neighbors, because we understand what it means to be a servant. We understand what it means to be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. It's about what we do in this world. It's about how we encounter those who are far from Jesus. And this week, and this last week, last couple weeks, we've seen some people in the news that were very far from Jesus, very far from holy, and they've harmed their fellow human beings. You know, there's some fear in the world that there's people coming to this country that can cause problems, right? They're going to hurt us. They're going to harm us. When we feel that way about people that are different than us, I think we miss out on a huge opportunity to witness to people. You see, I truly believe that the message of Jesus Christ can cut through anything, any barrier, any language, anything. I believe that the message of Jesus Christ is transformational in the life of every human being. No matter they be from Lee Summit, El Dorado Springs, Kansas City, Missouri, anywhere. You know, you have to admit, the message of Jesus Christ can actually get to those folks there in Columbia, Missouri, right? It gets right in there. And I'll throw in Lawrence, Kansas, yes. No, the message of Jesus can go anywhere. And I want you to think about the opportunity to evangelize people from another country, right? You know, it's expensive to go to other countries and share the good news. How easy is it that people are coming here and we're going to say, have you ever heard of Jesus? Because my guess is there's a lot of people that are coming to this country that don't know Jesus. And I believe when people are told the story of Jesus, it will transform their lives. They will be forever changed. But if Christians don't tell that story, if Christians don't talk to people, then they'll never know that story. If I'm going to be a servant of Jesus Christ, I need to talk to people who are different than me. I need to talk to people that don't know the message of Jesus. I need to be on social media sharing the good news. I need to be in my neighborhood, my community, inviting people to church. But it's up to each and every one of us to do that. I truly believe that Jesus Christ can cut through all that stuff and get to the heart of the matter and change people's hearts. Imagine if the church actually reached out and shared the good news to people. Imagine if we broke down all those barriers and those walls that we have put up and shared the good news. Lives would be forever changed. Generations of people would be forever changed if we chose to see ourselves as servants of Jesus Christ, followers of Jesus. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've received that gift of salvation and eternal life. If you have not, I would encourage you to do that today. Do that today. Don't wait another minute to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's never too late to do that. Your life will be forever changed. You will be what we call a new creation in Christ. That self that seems to be competing with everything will be gone. The new will come, and you'll have the light of Christ in your life. Let it shine brightly everywhere you go, in word and deed, everywhere you go, so that those who are far from Christ will know the true message of Jesus, and they will know the true meaning of Christmas. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, help each and every one of us be focused on you. Let our faith be something that's not afraid, that's not fearful, but that's strong and courageous, knowing that your light shines brightly among the nations, and that the message of hope and love and joy and peace is evident in everything that we say and everything we do. We will fight for your word, and we will fight for the lives of those who are far from you to bring them close to you. Give us the passion, strength, and courage to do so. It's in Jesus Christ's holy name that we pray. Amen.